The Feast of Pentecost was originally a Jewish feast day, and it commemorated the arrival of the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And so that was 50 days after the original Passover when they had escaped from Egypt. The word Pentecost is the Greek word that means 50, and that's what it was based off of, those 50 days. And when the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, clouds formed around the mountain. And there was thunder, there was lightning, and there were blasts of trumpets from the heavens. And Moses went up the mountain. The people were terrified. They backed away from the mountain. And as Moses was there, a pillar of fire descended upon Mount Sinai. And while Moses was on the mountain, the finger of God inscribed the Ten Commandments into the two tablets of stone. And so that's what the feast day of Pentecost commemorated for the Israelites. It was the events at Mount Sinai and the reception of the law. At the time of Christ, Christ celebrated the true Passover, his own passion and death. And 50 days after that, when the Jews were celebrating the feast day of Pentecost, God descended again in fire. This time not on Mount Sinai, but in tongues of fire upon the apostles, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the early church. And the law was inscribed again, this time not on tablets of stone, but within the hearts of the apostles. The role of the Holy Spirit is our inner transformation. That's his mission in God's plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit we call the sanctifier. Sanctify means to make holy. And so it's the mission of the Holy Spirit to transform our deformed souls. You know, our souls are deformed by sin. And it's the Holy Spirit that transforms our souls into something beautiful and something glorious by restoring us to the likeness of God. And so it's the mission of the Holy Spirit to create that inner transformation. When we look at the apostles, we can see a huge transformation from before and after the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They had been with Jesus, being trained by him and being instructed by him for 3 years. And yet, you know, after his resurrection, the apostles are hiding in secret. They have no idea what to do. They're scared, and they don't understand what their mission is. After the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they know very clearly what their mission is. They go out, and they boldly and courageously start proclaiming the faith. They had words to say, they knew what they were supposed to say, and they had the courage to say them. And so we see that it's the Holy Spirit that creates this incredible transformation in the apostles, from before the day of Pentecost to after they received the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what the apostles received at Pentecost, is offered to each one of us in the sacrament of confirmation. A lot of people, even Catholics, don't really understand what confirmation is about, or they have views that are not necessarily proper about the sacrament of confirmation. The sacrament of confirmation is about the outpouring, the full outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So every one of us has been offered those same graces that the apostles received in the upper room. But the disposition of our souls, that impacts whether we receive, whether we're receptive to those graces, and whether they bear fruit or not, whether we're inwardly transformed or not. You know, some people, in order to receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit and for those to bear fruit, may have to go to confession first. Because if someone's in a state of mortal sin, then their soul is not spiritually alive, and so they're not going to receive any fruits from the Holy Spirit. Or if there's false idols or priorities that we've put into our lives, where we're serving something else that matters more to us than the service of God, then that's going to interfere with any action of grace. So in order to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to repent of those false priorities in order to be disposed to receive the Holy Spirit and to be transformed. As Catholics, our faith can't be something that's just external. You know, like the Ten Commandments were written in tablets of stone. Our faith can't be something that's just written down. It can't just be a set of beliefs that we hold to be true. Okay, we believe this, and we believe this. And it can't just be a checklist of things that we do. Like, oh, I go to Mass on Sunday, check. You know, I pray before meals, check. I'm a good Catholic. That's not what our faith is about. Our faith is about a complete and total inner transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like the apostles experienced at Pentecost, where they were set on fire for the love of Christ, and it transformed their entire lives. That's what the faith is about. And so the reception of the gifts of the Holy Spirit should transform our prayer life. It should give life and intensity to our life of prayer, where we desire prayer and to communion with God. It should transform our outlook on life and what we view as being important, and how we interpret the events that we see around us, and the decisions that we make should all be motivated by the will of God. You know, the Holy Spirit should create a total and complete inner transformation as our souls are recreated in the likeness of God. We should be transformed so deeply that the Holy Spirit reshapes our entire lives and who we are. If that's not where we are, that's where we need to be going. I don't think it's any secret that the moral foundation of our society is collapsing around us. You know, families are disintegrating. The virtues that are necessary for a free society, you know, the virtues of integrity and mutual respect, these things are disintegrating around us. And our entire civilization is collapsing. And it's collapsing because Christianity is fading. Because we've lost our moral compass and our moral foundation. And people have turned their back on Christ and his church. Our response to that can't be bitterness and frustration. We can't just get upset and frustrated when we see what's happening around us. Our response needs to be to turn to the Holy Spirit to transform us and to make us into the instruments that God wishes us to be. Because the apostles in the early church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, were able to transform a corrupt and a pagan civilization into a flourishing Christian society. And it happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing can happen again. And it happens when people are receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit, who can transform us and transform the world around us. But we're not going to be able to draw people to the church and to draw people to Christ and the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit is alive within us and is molding and transforming us. So I encourage each one of us to block off some meaningful time today and throughout this week, each day over the course of the next week, and to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to pray that the gifts that you've received at your confirmation may be enlivened within you. The apostles were deeply transformed when the Holy Spirit came upon them in tongues of fire. And that transformation is offered to each one of us. And so I encourage us to accept that offer, and to spend some time in prayer today and each day throughout the next week, inviting the Holy Spirit to transform us and to enliven us.